Our scripture lesson today comes from the epistle, not book, the epistle of James, in the very first chapter. James writes out some very interesting words. And to be perfectly honest with you, James, who is who? The brother of? What was he going to say, Kirby? That's James back there. Did you write that? Man, you look good for your age. James, the brother of Jesus. We don't often look toward that particular epistle, that letter. But we need to pay attention to it right here, right now, today. And I think more than ever. With the things that we look at, the things that we've talked about. James chapter 1, the first 12 verses, he writes these words. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I love those 12 verses. I'm telling you, it made my hair stand up on my arm a little bit. Let us pray. Our Father, as we are drawn in here this morning, we come to church not because we have to, or we feel it makes us look good in the eyes of the community. We know why we're here. We're here to learn, to worship you, to glorify you, and to look at our shortcomings. We're here today, Father, because we love Jesus so much. And so let us break open this bread of truth, this word of life, Father, and glean from it. You have sent it out full. We will return it full. We will use it to go about our way when we depart from here. And we will use it as a lesson to be this week, next week. Remind us, Father, of the greatest price paid by your Son Jesus constantly. And it is through Jesus all of his children said, Amen. I have a question. Do you trust me? Okay.
Article on tools. You're starting to get it now, aren't you? You mind if I read just a bit more? That's what we're going to do, do we? Patience! All right, I'll behave myself now, even though I finally got to warn about steam engines. If you could have seen your faces, you were like, are you supposed to be preaching to me? Didn't he need to get on with it? A little bit of look of impatience starting to worry up there. What did we just read? Didn't we just read about patience? There was a commercial on TV some years ago that spurred me to try that. There was an airline company that was trying to change its image, and they wanted to teach how patience can wear thin. The CEO of the company called in all the directors, all the airline pilots that he could, and had them come in and sit down for a meeting, and then showed up for that meeting 30 minutes late and didn't tell anybody. But there was cameras secretly put around the room to watch the reactions of people becoming agitated, irritated, and mad. And he walked into the room to a big old whiteboard up there, and in the biggest letters he could do, he wrote patience across that. He said, that's the one thing that we need to have, and I just taught you about it. You need to have patience when dealing with. What do you think you need to have patience when dealing with? I'll entertain some answers. I'll take five answers. What do you think, Wally?
Playing for 5 hours.
Okay. Anybody else? That's four. What do you think you need to have patience when dealing with? James?
Life.
There you go. Number two?
Children.
Children, that's three.
Husbands.
That's not one. Husbands? That's four. Got five. One more. Come on. What do you think you need to have patience when dealing with?
Customers.
Do you know what you need to have patience when dealing with? Everything. Everything. James is laying that out.
We just heard a little bit about that. See, that was a patience test. I had endeavored that I was going to go for about 5 minutes like that. And, you know, the two on my shoulder, the angel and the devil. And the devil's over there going, yeah, yeah. And the angel's like, Paul. I said, okay. See, what you don't realize is that truly I am the world's most patient man. What are you laughing for? It's written right there. Look, it says right here. It says I'm the world's most impatient man. I didn't see the I am in front of that. I got taught a very long lesson about patience. It seems like I'm always being taught. I am horribly short on patience. I'm getting better at it. I've been married for 15 years.
Will be.
And I'm telling you, she can tell you, I have gained more patience. I'm still not very good with it. But at the beginning of this month, as you all well know, I was brought into my office on the first working business day of this month. Came into my office like I do every morning, sat my bag down. It's my routine. I wanted to walk you into my world for a minute. I come through the doors at about 6:15, 6:20 down there at Baltimore at Spring Garden Complex. Walk in, bag in this hand, computer in this hand. Walk in, set my bag down, lock my computer into the docking station, open the lid up, push the button, and stand up before I do anything else, and look at the two calendars that I have on my desk. One's got steam engines on it, one has tractors on it. And I always stand there and stare at them every morning. They're the same thing every morning, but I love them so much. And then I check to make sure they haven't done anything to my chair, because there's other guys that get in there before me, and they will do that. I give it a little sweep, check all the levers, and then I sit down and I go to work. By that time, it's about 6:25. I'm locked in. I'm in the system, putting in all my stuff from the day before. And at 6:40, the door at the other end of the office trailer opens up, and my boss steps out and says, Paul, come in here for a minute. Now, I get called in there all the time.
not for what you think, although on occasion. And I came in because I do a lot of intricate work within our system as I have been trained, creating jobs, chasing troubles, looking for faults. It's a long story. But this was different. He said, close that door and sit down. When I hear it said like that, I know I'm in trouble for something. But I immediately, my mind starts clicking. Man, I haven't done anything wrong in 5 days. That's how I think. Because I've heard those words before. Sit down. Shut that door and sit down. Did you really tell that homeowner to shut up? I didn't say it like that. I told him to be quiet so I could finish explaining it to him. This day he said, Paul, your contract is not being renewed. You're going to be out of a job April 30th. That's it. Really? 2 years into this. Is there anything you can do? No. My vice president of my section will not sign a renewal of your requisition. Wants to shrink our unit. I got to turn you loose. You can stay until the 30th, but you got to go. He said, I've placed some calls on your behalf to other contractors, and all of them want to talk to you because of your knowledge. They all want to hire you. I don't want to do that. I want to stay working for you, I told him. I don't like that world anymore. I came from it. I love what I'm doing. He said, I can't do anything. I said, okay. I went outside and sat down at my desk and I prayed. The room was quiet. Everybody knew something was up. And I told everybody what was going on. And it shook everybody up. And you know, about an hour later, I didn't think about it anymore. I just went back to work. And I started fielding a few phone calls from some of these people, these other companies, and they wanted to pay me a lot of money. More money than I've ever known. But I didn't want to do that. I'm not about that. I'm about what I want to do that suits me. So guess what has to start happening? God, I can't figure this out. I really can't do it. You fix it. You fix it. I'm done with it. I've got work to do down here. You take it from here. And that's the truth, brothers and sisters. And I turned it loose and people started saying, hey, I hear you're losing your job. And I'd look at them and go, yeah, that's true. What are you going to do? I don't know. We'll work. I'll find something. Things will happen. Inside, scared to death. Turmoil. Hard to sleep at night. Brave face being put on. For the first week, I laughed about it. Wendy, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Second week, two of those jobs dropped out because one of them would have had me working down in Manassas, Virginia, which meant I left at the dark, come home in the dark. I don't want to do that. The second job dropped out because the person and I didn't see eye to eye on some of his characteristics. Now I'm down to the job I'm at and one other offer. And in the third week, the other offer dried up. My patience is gone. At the beginning of the third week, we get called into the office and my boss tells us, hey, guess what? Our whole section is going to move to another section in BG&E. They were trying to get me put into that section that we're going to stay on doing what I love just for an entirely different group of people. The company I've been working for 2 years, I had said to them, I want a raise. They said, well, we can't give you one unless we get one. We don't want to lower our profit margin, even though we're making a tremendous profit on you. I said, well, if you don't give me a raise, I'm going to have to go, and then you're going to lose it. And it was a whole thing, and it began to become turmoil, and I kept it hidden. And now I'm done. I'm in my quiet times, in the truck. I'm calling on God. Why? What are you doing this for? You already broke me back in 07. Be still. That Monday,
He goes and meets with his people after making this announcement, comes back from the meeting and says, Paul, you can stay with me. Oh, man. He said, when we move over, I'm just going to take you with me. Everything's going to be fine. Well, no, it's not, because I'm now in negotiations for a pay rate increase, which I ain't had in 3 years, 4 years. They came down to Wednesday morning. It looked like I was going to have to go to another job completely outside the company on Wednesday morning. I got a phone call. Paul, we've decided to go ahead, give you the raise, and go ahead and keep you where you're at, and everything will be just fine. And I cried like I had just seen a tractor dropped at the junkyard. It's not a story I'm telling you to make me seem great or tell you some great story or try to say, hey, look at Paul. I'm telling you this story because my patience was pushed to the breaking point. Understand, here's my sleeve, here's my heart. God, I'm over there preaching. I'm walking in the Word. I'm telling people. Why? Why are you doing this? Can we go back to Scripture for a minute? Verse 12, underline it. And I don't care if it's the Pew Bible, because somebody's going to open that thing up and they're going to see that. Verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to them, to those who love him. Oh my golly, why wasn't I paying attention? We live in a world now where we want what we want, and we want it now. When you can take a computer and put it on a phone in your pocket, you want what you want now. Anybody know what the Sears catalog was like? Yeah, man, who doesn't have a Sears catalog somewhere in your house? And I'll bet you one of them is probably at least 20 years old, because you just hate the thought of throwing that thing out, right? Look at all these heads. Uh-huh. I have one. I've got an original Sears catalog from the 1930s. An original one. And I love reading that thing. Carburetor for a Model A John Deere tractor. Price? $12.53. And I pick up the phone. I would get... Oh, that's right. This is 1924. And then you read on. Delivery time, depending on your zip code, could be anywhere from 2 weeks to 4 weeks. And that was big time back then. If you could get something that fast, that was wonderful. It was probably less, but they had to say that. Now we've gone to, oh my goodness, would you look at those knives on that television set? They just cut through a cinder block and then a tomato. I got to have them things. Boop, 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 boop. Where's my wallet? Honey, where's my wallet at? Are you on the phone with that shopping channel? Yep. Then you ain't going to see your wallet. We want what we want, and we want it now. And that's the thing that we do, not just with items, but with each other. Husbands with wives, wives with husbands, fathers with children, mothers with children, with our friends, with our church, with our community, and with our God, we want what we want, and we want it now. I'm saying to you, no. Read my sermon title. You're going to have to wait sometimes just a bit more. Say it, just a bit more. And you're not going to like it, and guess what? Tough. I'm sorry. I don't write the rules, I just read them. Speaking of which, I heard a funny joke. I had to work this in somehow, and it finally fit, and I knew it would come here. I was watching a television show the other day, and a kid walked in the house, and he said, man, I just seen The Passion of the Christ for the 11th time. Woo! He said, but I'll tell you right now, I just don't think it's better than the book. It made me laugh. Having impatience is tough, and when we don't use it, it gets harder. There's a traditional story, a traditional Hebrew story, that Abraham was sitting outside of his tent one evening when he saw an old man weary and aged and beat down from a journey coming toward him. And Abraham rushed out and greeted him and invited him into his tent. Then he washed the old man's feet and he gave him food and drink. The old man began eating right away without saying a blessing. So Abraham asked him, "Don't you worship God?" The old traveler replied, "I worship fire only and reverence no other God." And when he heard this, Abraham became incensed, grabbed the old man by the shoulders, and threw him out of his tent into the cold night air. When the old man departed, God called his friend Abraham and asked, "Where was the stranger that I sent you?" Abraham replied, "I forced him out because he did not worship you." God answered, "I have suffered him 80 years, although he dishonors me. Could you not have endured him for one night?" How many people feel like that right now? Put them up.
God called. I love that story because we know that God talked directly to Abraham. Can you imagine getting that? You remember there several years ago, one of these days, I'm going to do it. I'm working on it quietly. The phone call from God where the phone rings. Y'all remember that from back on the radio back in the 70s? And he picks up the telephone and God is calling him and it's a holster. Am I really that old? Can you imagine getting that phone call? Can you imagine getting that call? "Abraham, where's the man I sent you, my most trusted friend?" "Well, I threw him out." "Why?" "Because he spoke ill of you." "Abraham, patience. Just a bit more." Brothers and sisters, patience. Just a bit more. Patience with everything. Somebody's making you mad. You don't want to hurt them. Well, you kind of do. But you don't. You kind of get cut off in traffic. "Oh, I'm telling you, I am bad to ride with. I had yesterday at the..." Oh, this is going to get me in trouble. I've signed my contract, right? Right?
Yes.
All right, well, I'm good then. I'll tell this story. You can't fire me for a little while. Yesterday at school, it was an all-day school on a Saturday when I could have been picking mushrooms or going to the auction or working on a tractor. I went to school all day, yay me. And we went to lunch in Frederick at Bob Evans, and I put a bunch of people in the truck, and some people left before me, and I said, "Well, I know a quicker way to get there. Here we go." An old fella riding in the front of the truck with me kept putting his hands like this. And I said, "Are you all right?" He goes, "Man, I ain't never moved this fast through traffic." I said, "Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till we get on the highway. This was just through a parking lot." Patience. We are horrible with it. The minute somebody makes us mad, we forget forgiveness. We forget let them vent it. We forget everything. And at the detriment sometimes of those we hold most precious. And I am horrible for it. And I am ashamed. And sometimes more than you can imagine. And I argued with God. Perhaps the reason patience is so hard to come by is because that's God's own throttle control. You're going to keep asking. He's going to keep saying no. Just to teach you. John chapter 21. After everything that has happened, after Jesus Christ died on that cross, after he went to hell and fought off death, after he stepped out of that tomb, after he showed himself again, after he came to Peter, after he's sitting there with Peter leaning next to him, what do we read? John chapter 21, verse 20. "And Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at supper and said," quote, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked,
Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Even in these moments, Peter. Yes, I love you too. Even in these moments, Peter is still exercising a complete loss of patience. What about me? 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 You know what? When we start doing that, we leave patience behind and we destroy everything around us. And it's hard. And we don't do it right. It is a picture of us watching what Peter did. We want it now, and that's not the way God works. We go back to that scripture yet again, and James starts out, consider it, verse 2, consider it joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many, not any, many kinds, because you know that the testing of our faith develops perseverance. Do you know the things that can test us and destroy our patience? Everybody in this room's got a story. Everybody. And some of them hurt, and some of them still hurt. I'm sorry. I know a lot of your stories. Patience. Just a bit more patience. In our daily bread, we read, the purposes of God often develop slowly, because his grand designs are never hurried. The great New England preacher Philip Brooks was noted for his poise and quiet manner. At times, however, he even suffered moments of frustration and irritability. One day a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion. He said, what's your trouble, Mr. Brooks? I want you to listen to his answer. Are you ready? The trouble is I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. Say amen.
Amen.
Some of the greatest missionaries of history devoted to spread the seed of God's word and yet had to wait forever. William Carey labored 7 years before the first Hindu convert. 7 years. Judson toiled 7 years. It was 14 years in Western Africa before the first convert was created. In Tahiti, 16 years. Thomas Kempis describes that kind of patience in these words. He deserves not the name of a patient who is willing only to suffer as much as he thinks proper. You want me to explain that to you? Your patience is only as good as you will let it go. If you think your patience only suffers for 5 minutes and you've been patient enough, you are wrong. I am wrong. He goes on to write, but from whomever, or how much, or how often wrong is done to him, he accepts it all from the hand of God and counts it again. That's the true test of patience. It is truly a test, and it's a test that we get constantly. You want to see a patience tester? Would everybody in this room like to see something that'll really test your patience? Say amen if you'd like to see it. Let me get down there.
Let me tell you about this thing. My boy brought this thing home from the disaster auction yesterday and said, Daddy, look at this. It's a puzzle. You see that little ball bearing in there? You put that little ball bearing, give it there. You put that little ball bearing up here in this little place called Start. Right? And then you have to turn the ball, and you have to move it around, and you can't move it too easy. Can't move it too fast, and you have to keep it on these little trails around here. You just dropped it again. You have to start over every time. And I can't put it down. I can't stop because I'm going to beat this thing. You know what the truth is? I'll never beat this thing. Because I'll give up on it. That shouldn't be how we live our life. That when we're tested for patience, we give up.
How we should live our life is by knowing that we're no means perfect. We're Christians. Chris Davis, number 19 in your hearts, old crush from the Baltimore Orioles. Ain't a single person in here that doesn't know that last year he was suspended for 25 games for using a legal drug without a doctor's note. Why? Adderall, that's right. Why? And I read an interview with him. He said, because I wanted to. Because the temptation had gotten so much that all the years I had a prescription note for it, and they decided I didn't need it anymore to curb my attention deficit disorder, I said, I know what's best for me, and I kept doing it. And I lost sight of my family, my life, and my team, and I got caught. And I served 25 games, and it was dark. And I walked around asking the Lord why, when I knew the answer. I had done this to myself. Chris said, and I quote, when you become Christian, people think you're supposed to be floating around like angels. The truth of the matter is, we don't. We're still human. We still walk. We still trip. We still fall. It's who gets back up and how you get back up that determines if you can hang in there for just a bit more. Chris went on to say that his faith was strengthened in this time because for 25 games, he had to go out and be himself. And he called on his other Christian brothers, and he found solace in reading his Bible every day and not reading it in any manner, just reading it and thanking God for every time he hit the ball, 400 feet, come on, baby, today. Or he struck out through the whole game. He still thanked the Lord because the Lord was teaching him patience. Hallelujah! That's us. That's us. We all need it. I need a bunch of it. I need so much. There ought to be a dump truck trailer behind me, following me everywhere I go all day, because I'd empty that thing out once about every 15 minutes. Do you know how I learned patience? Becoming a pastor. And I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. The trials, the perseverance, the trying to figure things out. I wouldn't trade any of it. Because I can imagine how my life, how your life would be if your patience could not be tempered by the love of Jesus Christ, by the fullness and grace of God. I learned anachronism since I've been in school. I've learned a couple of them. I probably am what God would call an EGR. Anybody know what EGR stands for? Extra grace required. Anybody else in this room an EGR? Put your hand up. Oh, look at all them hands going up. Say amen. That's patience, brothers and sisters. That's where it stands. It is beating on me like a drum in my head that I don't let you forget that God is going to tell you yes, no, or keep asking. And if you keep asking, how long do you have to keep asking? Who knows? Every time you think you're done asking, you're going to have to go just a bit more. And just a bit more. And just a bit more. Until the day he calls you home, in some cases. But oh, how glorious it is when we can learn that patience. When we can look at the people around us. I'm not even talking about things. Please don't come into my shop on any day unless you call me first. And then I can put on my preacher face when I'm in the shop. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about having the patience to continue to preach the word, to live the word, to be the word for someone as close as the person sitting right next to you or on the other side of the aisle in the next house over, in the truck beside you at work, in the car that just cut you off on the beltway again. And for that person that looks you square in the eye and says, there is no God, pray for patience. He will give you the answers. Yes, no, keep asking. Patience is defined as the capacity to accept, tolerate, delay trouble or suffering without getting angry or upset. Now let me see if I can remember the poem that I was once taught. Here we go. Patience is, I got it. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom found in a woman and never in a man. I love you guys beyond words. I love you all so much. I wouldn't trade any of what I go through for anything. I ask you this week to remember, when it's called on, have patience for just a bit more. Can you do that? Tell me so. Say amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we are drawn in. We are brought in. We are drug in, kicking and screaming, sometimes into the understanding of your plan for each one of us. And when we do understand it, then we calm down a little bit. I pray, Father, that you give us patience. No, we won't come out of here a whole percent better for it. We will come out of here understanding it more. We won't walk out of here suddenly transformed. Every one of us knows that. But we will walk out of here thinking about how to look for and how to be ready to exercise just a bit more patience. We thank you, Father, for the lessons that you teach continually. And for everything that's happened in our life, and we question the reason, Father, teach us that patience. That your answers are yes, no, or keep asking. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And we love you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we all said, amen. As we come forward, if you need that particular prayer, you can come up here and leave it on the bench. I can come down and pray for you if you need. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're struggling, now's the time as we sing that last hymn.
Please stand and turn to page 596.